our reading this morning online. The passage that we're going to read or study is Exodus chapter 15. But just to set the context, I want to begin in Exodus 14. So Exodus chapter 14 and verse 10, and it's on page 67. If you're using the Pew Bible, you've got Genesis and then Exodus, and Exodus chapter 14 and beginning at verse 10, and we're going to read down to verse 19 in chapter 15. Exodus 14 and verse 10. When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to bring us? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." And Moses said to the people, "Fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent." The Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward. Lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, that the people of Israel may go through the sea on dry ground. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they shall go in after them. And I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his host, his chariots and his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gained glory over Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen." Then the angel of God who was going before the host of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them, coming between the host of Egypt and the host of Israel. And there was the cloud and the darkness, and it lit up the night without one coming near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the people of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. The Egyptians pursued and went in after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. And in the morning watch, the Lord in the pillar of fire and of cloud looked down upon the Egyptian forces and threw the Egyptian forces into a panic, clogging their chariot wheels so that they drove heavily. And the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from before Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, that the water may come back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen." So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its normal course when the morning appeared. And as the Egyptians fled into it, the Lord threw the Egyptians into the midst of the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and of all the host of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea. Not one of them remained. But the people of Israel walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great power that the Lord used against the Egyptians, so the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. Then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord, saying, "I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his hosts he cast into the sea, and his chosen officers were sunk in the Red Sea. The floods covered them. They went down into the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power, your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you overthrow your adversaries. You send out your fury. It consumes them like stubble. At the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. The floods stood up in a pile. The deeps congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. My desire shall have its fill of them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. You blew with your wind. The sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders? You stretched out your right hand. The earth swallowed them. You have led in your steadfast love the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them by your strength to your holy abode. The peoples have heard. They tremble. Pangs have seized the inhabitants of Philistia. Now the chiefs of Edom, dismayed, trembling, seizes the leaders of Moab. All the inhabitants of Canaan have melted away. Terror and dread fall upon them because of the greatness of your arm. They are still as a stone. Till your people, O Lord, pass by, till the people pass by whom you have purchased. You will bring them in and plant them on your own mountain, the place, O Lord, which you have made for your abode, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. The Lord will reign forever and ever. For when the horses of Pharaoh with his chariots and his horsemen went into the sea, the Lord brought back the waters of the sea upon them. But the people of Israel walked on dry ground in the midst of the sea. Amen. May the Lord bless to each and every one of us the reading and hearing of his own precious word. Well, as one year ends and another begins, it's an appropriate point for each of us to take just a moment to reflect on how the Lord has watched over us, how he has preserved us, how he has delivered us from many trials, difficulties, suffering, sorrow, temptations. He has delivered us from dangers both seen and unseen. He is bearing us up, and he is enabling us even now through present distresses. And we ought to take time to just take stock and to return thanksgiving for all his blessings and his mercies towards us in and through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessings and mercies which he daily loads upon us. Reflection on the past and thanksgiving can be a great assurance and encouragement as we look to the future and what is unknown to us of what lies ahead. God has been gracious and God has been faithful thus far. He has promised never to leave us nor to let us go, so we can depend upon him for all that is yet to come, whatever that might be. We see here in Exodus chapter 15, Moses and the children of Israel at a point where they stop to acknowledge and to reflect on God's deliverance of them from evil and from danger, and they stop here and they give him thanks. At the same time, they're looking ahead to the future and all that lies ahead of them in anticipation and with enthusiasm, because God is their God. The promised land lies before them, but as we know, There are going to be many experiences and many lessons that they need to learn on the journey. And so often their failure, even as the people of God, their failure is failure to reflect on the mighty works of God and to give thanks. And that failure, as we see as we continue through the scriptures, often led them into trouble of their own making. Well, this deliverance from the bondage in Egypt was such a mighty experience for Moses and the Israelites, but it wasn't an experience that was without moments of great panic. As we read the context there in chapter 14, and if you want to go further even back later on for yourselves, they've been released from bondage, and then Pharaoh thinks, "What on earth have I done?" He changes his mind, Exodus 14, and he goes after them again with his army in hot pursuit, and it seemed as if they were going to recapture them, because the Israelites find themselves hemmed in by the Red Sea ahead of them, and mountains on either side of them, and they were in serious trouble. But at this crucial moment, Moses calls out to the people, Exodus 14 and verses 13 and 14. "Fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you only have to be silent." What on earth was the Lord going to do to get them out of this situation? "Fear not, fear not. See the salvation of the Lord. The Lord will fight for you." And then we see what happens, how the Lord troubles the Egyptian armies as they follow them into that parted sea. The chariot wheels become clogged up. They're making little progress in chasing after them. They say, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them." They identified that this wasn't something that the people were doing themselves, that the Lord was on their side. But as we see, it was all too late. The Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. The Lord's deliverance from Egypt was made complete. And the first thing that they do, the first thing that the redeemed people of Israel do, is to sing to the Lord. And we have what is known, it's the title there, and might be that the Song of Moses. The Song of Moses, Exodus 15. First of all, it is a song of victory. Moses and the children of Israel sang a song of victory, not only of this present victory over Egypt that has just taken place before their eyes, but also in anticipation of victory in the future. And the whole focus of this victory song, is the Lord. The Lord is the one who has intervened. The Lord is the one who has rescued his people when, humanly speaking, there was absolutely no hope. They couldn't see a way out. They were literally between rock and a hard place. Mountains on either side of them, the Red Sea before them, and here the Egyptians coming up behind them. But the Lord intervened in this seemingly impossible situations. And sometimes we might find ourselves, and we might think we're between a rock and a hard place, and we just cannot see any way ahead or any way of escape. But here the people sing of their deliverer. Verse 3, the Lord, they speak of him as a man of war. Verse 3, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. They are weak and helpless. They sing of their deliverer. They sing in verse 2, the Lord is my strength. And they sing, he has become my salvation. The Lord is my strength. He is my song. It's all about him. And he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. He destroys the enemy. Verse 6, your right hand, O Lord, your right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemy in pieces. His right hand, symbolic of his power, his glorious power, his sovereignty. You have crushed my enemy. You've destroyed my enemy. Verse 12, he works wonders. You stretched out your right hand. The earth swallowed them up. And he is victorious. Verse 13, he leads his people, his redeemed people, and guides them to his holy dwelling. And in verse 18, this mighty warrior king will reign forever and ever. So the Lord proved himself to be a warrior by hurling Pharaoh's chariots and army into the depths of the sea without any effort. In verse 9, you can almost hear the breathless pursuit of the enemy of the Egyptians in their lust to recover or to do away with the Israelites, this lust for vengeance. Verse 9, the enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil, my desire shall have its fill of them, I will draw my sword, my hands shall destroy them. They're furious. Pharaoh is in a fury to change the situation. Look at the next verse, verse 10. You blew with your wind. You blew with your wind. But a breath of the Lord's nostrils and the sea, which stood up as a wall for the Israelites, now covered the Egyptians, who sank like lead into the mighty waters. The warrior is victorious, and they sing here of his victory. But it's not just this present victory, this present experience that they rejoice in. It's also a song of future victory. The Lord as warrior enters into a relationship with these weak, helpless people. The Lord is involved with his people. Verse 2, they sing, the Lord has become my salvation. He has become my help. Verse 13, there's a reference to the Lord's mercy. The word that is he for mercy here is speaks of the Lord's steadfast love, his love of commitment, his love of covenant loyalty. These people didn't count for much in the eyes of the world, especially in the eyes of the Egyptians, but the Lord loved them, and he has redeemed them. He has brought them out. And after such a great deliverance, he's not going to leave them now just to fend for themselves. What he's begun in this work, he can be counted on to complete. He will guide them by his strength to their destiny. And so Moses and the people sing with great confidence concerning their future. Look at verse 17. You will bring them in and plant them on your own mountain, the place, O Lord, which you have made for your abode, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. The Lord is faithful. And so with strong assurance, they sing this song, verses 11 to 18, of the Lord finishing the work of salvation that he's already begun. He has been victorious over their enemy, the Egyptians, and this is a pledge of what he is going to do for them in the future. He's going to fill all their enemies with terror. It's a pledge of their entrance into the promised land. And following on from this, when the nations hear of this, this miraculous deliverance, his guidance of his people, of Israel, of Pharaoh's destruction, It's going to throw them into despair and alarm. Later on, as they enter into the land to take over the promised land, the land of Canaan, Joshua chapter 2 and verses 9 and 10, and then again in chapter 9 and verse 9, we learn that this report of what has happened here on the edge of the Red Sea, this report has spread throughout the region. They've heard about Pharaoh's overthrow. It had reached Canaan, and it filled the inhabitants with terror. The Lord intervenes. The Lord intervenes. He rescues his people, even in impossible situations. And he continues to fight for his people, even now. So here we have this reflection over what the Lord has done, what he is going to do, what they anticipate he's going to do for them. It's a song of victory. It's also a song of thanksgiving. Before they moved on from the place where they saw the Egyptians overwhelmed, they expressed their joy in God and thankfulness to him by singing. Their deliverance is fresh in their experience. They were greatly affected by it, and they sing. When God's mercy, his love, his deliverance in Christ Jesus is fresh in our experience, when we're reminded of it by his Spirit through his word, let us return praise before we forget and move on from that occasion, from that situation in which we have seen his mercy, we've experienced his mercy, we've acknowledged how he has delivered us and brought us through when we could see no way of escape, no way ahead. Here we are, a year that has been such a year for so many, and here we are today, and we can look back and there might be things that we can acknowledge that he has done for us. There might be things that we were completely unaware of that he has done for us, things that he's kept us from, ways that he's preserved us. We can stop and acknowledge his mercy and sing with thanksgiving to him. The people here, they sing to the honor of God, to exalt his name, to celebrate his praise, because none of this deliverance is obviously nothing to do with him. And so often we find ourselves in situations and it's beyond what we can do, it's beyond what anybody can do to help us. And yet the Lord is merciful and brings us through, brings us out, brings us ahead. They give thanks because verse 2, he is my God. He is my God, and I will praise him. My strength, my song, my salvation. The child of God has temptations to fight, troubles to bear. He or she knows of his or her own weaknesses, but the Lord gives strength. His grace is our strength. We are often in troubles or sorrows, but he comforts us and he can turn our mourning into song. Sin, death, and hell threaten, but the Lord is and will be our salvation because he is my God. He is the warrior and he fights my enemies. He is my God and I will praise him. When the Israelites see how they were saved, how their enemy had been destroyed, there is this fear, this reverential fear, this grateful trust in the Lord. And they thank God, the God of their salvation. And they celebrate here with praise the one who has delivered them. Verse 11, they sing, who is like you? Who is like you, O Lord among the gods? Egypt claimed to have many gods, but none of them compared to the Lord, the Almighty and Eternal God. He is glorious in holiness, rich in mercy, fearful in praises, doing wonders. They not only give thanks for their present deliverance, but also looking ahead to the future. The promised land was ahead of them, but they looked forward as if they were already there. They already saw the nations trembling because the Lord was with them. The Lord would bring them into Canaan, would plant them like a vine on his mountain. He would give the land to his people. He would dwell among them. And there the Lord would be king forever and ever. Verse 18 captures their jubilation. The Lord will reign forever and ever. They're rejoicing as they look forward to this never-ending relationship with the Lord. It's a song of victory. It's a song of thanksgiving. Finally, please turn to Revelation chapter 15. Revelation chapter 15. And here we have another song. Chapter 15. And we'll read from verse 2 to 4. And I saw what appeared to be a sea of glass mingled with fire, and also those who had conquered the beast and its image and the number of its name, standing beside the sea of glass with harps of God in their hands, and they sing the song of Moses, servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and amazing are your deeds, O Lord God the Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship you, for your righteous acts have been revealed." The song of the Lamb, song of victory, song of thanksgiving, and the song of the Lamb. And what's it called? It's called the song of Moses. The song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. And in this chapter, the Apostle John sees the events just before the most momentous period in the history of the Lord. That day when Christ shall appear as the Lamb who had been slain, as the victorious King of Kings. That time when all the works of the devil will be brought to nothing. And on the eve of this great event, what happens? A great company stand at the Sea of Glass. Not the Red Sea, but the Sea of Glass. And what do? They do exactly what the people of God had done at the side of the Red Sea. They sing. They sing. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Those who sing are those who have victory over the beast. Those who have refused to worship the beast. Those who have refused to follow the evil one. Those who have been sustained in faith in Jesus, who have remained faithful. It is all the company of God's people who shall stand at the Sea of Glass and sing the song of victory and thanksgiving. Revelation 4 and verse 6, John says there that he says, "I saw a sea of glass clear as crystal." It's chapter 4, verse 6, "A sea of glass clear as crystal before the heavenly throne, resplendent purity." But here in chapter 15, there's something different about this sea of glass. The sea of glass is mixed with fire. There's a combination of symbols here. The sea of glass represents God's transparent righteousness, his holiness, his purity. But now, here it is mixed with fire. That is, it's mixed with his righteousness revealed in judgment on the wicked. In the same sea, there is salvation and glory for God's people. But also, there is wrath and judgment to be revealed against the wicked. This scene here in Revelation 15 reminds us of what we've only just looked at. The children of Israel standing at the edge of the Red Sea in Exodus 15. And they're looking back over that sea. The sea, the Red Sea, has been their salvation. The Lord has brought them through, has delivered them, has saved them. The sea has been their salvation. Saved them from their enemy. But that same sea became the sea of wrath and judgment for God's enemies. Now go forward. The sea of glass. The sea of glass, a reflection of God's anger. He will destroy the Antichrist. He will destroy his kingdom. And he will destroy all those who are part of it. But that same sea is the salvation of those who belong to Jesus Christ. They are victorious because of the righteousness of the Lord. And so at the end, the people of God, all who are trusting Jesus Christ, will stand one day at that seashore, and we'll join together to sing this song because of the grace of God. By God's grace, by God's help, they have remained faithful because God has sustained them and kept them by his grace. They can sing because God has made them to be his people. It's called the Song of Moses here in Revelation 15, the Song of Moses and the Song of the Lamb, because it is the same song. The same song. The deliverance from Egypt, the Passover Lamb, they pictured, they foreshadowed deliverance from sin, from death, from hell, by the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, the Song of the Lamb, his beloved Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The old and the new have the same deliverer. He is the same redeemer. The Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints are just one great multitude. And so they sing the same song. What happened at the edge of the Red Sea and what will happen at the end, that in Exodus 15 is but a picture of what is going to happen at the end. The deliverance from Egypt pictured Christ and his salvation. Christ leads his people out of the house of bondage, of sin and death and service to God's enemy. Christ and his people are the objects of the pursuing wrath of the enemy. Christ leads his people safely through those waters of separation, of anger, so that those waters become at the same time a means of salvation for his people, but also a means of destruction for his enemy. And what do they sing? What do they sing? Verses 3 and 4. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and amazing are your deeds, O Lord God, the Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O kings, O King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship you, for your righteous acts have been revealed." Just as in Exodus 15, it's all about him. It's all about him. It's all about the Lord. It's an exaltation of the greatness, the power, and the glory of God. God manifested in all his works. What of the present time? What of today? Well, we're still here. Maybe for some of us, only just. We're still here in the world. We're still here in the midst of battle. But by the grace of God, we can listen to these two songs today, the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb, and we can learn from them and look forward to that day. We can anticipate that day when we shall stand at the edge of the sea of glass before the heavenly throne, delivered from the enemy that always surrounds us, free to serve and glorify the God of our salvation, free to sing the song of Moses and of the Lamb, a song of victory and a song of thanksgiving that will go on for all eternity. If you are here today at the beginning of a new year, and you're someone who hasn't put your trust in Jesus Christ to save you, a filthy sinner just like all the rest of us, if you haven't put your trust in Him to save you from your sin, to save you from God's anger, God's judgment to come, you are between a rock and a hard place. You might not realize it, you might not want to think about it, but you are in bondage to your sin. That's why you continue on the path that you go, because you're in bondage to your sin. You love your sin, and you're in bondage to Satan, whether you believe in him or not. You're following him. He is your master. He is the one who is directing you upon that path that will lead to destruction. Satan is your master, and you serve him. Death and hell surround you. But ahead are the fiery waters of judgment in this sea of glass. The fiery waters of judgment. And your only means of escape, your only way out, is the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God whose blood was shed to save sinners, to deal with your sin, to bring you into a relationship, a right relationship with the warrior king, the one who has defeated sin and death and Satan. Trust in him. Trust in him. And the sea of glass, those waters of judgment, will not overwhelm you, but rather deliver you, just as it did for the Israelites, just as it will do for all the people of God. Rather deliver you to safety and salvation. Perhaps today is your day of God's deliverance. Your day of deliverance from your sin, from your guilt, from your condemnation, from your judgment. And on this day of deliverance, you can stand and sing a song of victory and a song of thanksgiving to Jesus Christ, your deliverer. May 2021 be a year of deliverance for many, to the praise and glory of his name. The promised land, our hope of glory, is still before us. It's still before the people of God. We have many experiences and many lessons yet to learn. But as the people of God, trusting in him, we have the promise of victory. Reflect, look back, and think about all that the Lord has done for us thus far. Look forward to all that he promises to us, which is yet to come, and give him thanks and give him praise. Let's stand and call upon him. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, the Egyptians cried out in fear in the midst of judgment as they acknowledged that your hand was in their downfall, in this judgment upon them. But it was all too late. They were overthrown. They were destroyed. Your enemy was crushed. Heavenly Father, you speak to us today through the Song of Moses and the Song of the Lamb, of what will yet take place. It's a picture of what is yet to happen. We pray, O God, that you would use these scriptures by your Holy Spirit to cause your enemies to turn to you, to flee to you, just like Rahab did. She acknowledged you there in Jericho, her and her family, and you saved them out of that destruction. They heard of your works, and they trusted in your works, and you delivered her. Heavenly Father, as those who are against you, who've sinned against you, Father, in your mercy, deliver. Bring men and women, boys and girls, into salvation and to safety, so that at the end, they will join with all the people of God on the shore of the sea of glass and sing with the people of God of your victory and give you thanks and praise. Heavenly Father, we pray for the people of God that you would help us to learn lessons from the people of old. It wasn't that long that they had seen this deliverance, then they were grumbling and complaining and moaning. They so easily forgot what they'd just witnessed. And look at how much trouble they brought upon themselves. Father, keep us from complaining and moaning against you, against your dealings with us, when perhaps they don't go the way that we expected, the way that we had hoped. But you have lessons and things to teach us. And you give us great days and you give us low days. And in all of these things, you're conforming us, you're transforming us, you're changing us into the likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us in faith to have this perspective and understanding of all your gracious dealings with us in life, that we might sing of your victory, of the power of your salvation, and give you thanks and praise. Whatever this year may bring for any one of us here, we pray, O God, that you would keep us faithful, you would keep us close to you, you'd keep us from wandering, from straying, keep us from fear. Fear not, said Moses. Stand still and see the Lord's deliverance. Father, keep us from fear. Help us to be still, to acknowledge you, to acknowledge your gracious, loving hand around us, and to see your deliverance. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.